And I'm excited that this is my first time talking on this topic on Clubhouse.
Wonderful.
You know,
And
Denise. Oh, hold on, Vic. One second. I wanted to share to Denise that I'm honestly super pumped for this session today because, honestly, first of all, I'm not entirely sure what femme aging is. However, Pick was sharing me all the good things that you are creating right now, and you know, the website that you build, it's honestly amazing. So I cannot wait to dive in more and learn more from you. I do have a couple of
Thank
questions
you.
as well. Pick has her questions lined up already. So yeah, we're pretty much
Okay.
excited.
Perfect. Perfect. It looks like Fard has joined
Far.
us.
Yes. He is the co-author of the FemTech Aging Report. The Fem
Exactly.
Aging Report, sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Hello, Fard. You're muted.
Fard, you're muted. Look at the bottom to the far right. You'll see the there
Okay,
is.
hello. Can you hear
Okay.
me? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I'm this is my first time using Clubhouse. I've been invited to use it in the past, but this is my first time, so
That's
I
fine.
apologize for being a little bit dull about all of the functionality here. But thank you very much for inviting me to participate in the event.
Yeah,
No.
definitely. All right, Pick, do you want to get started?
Okay, so let's see. I'm
Okay, can
prepared.
you still hear me? I just switched to my headset.
Yes,
Yes.
but the voice sounds a little far, right? Not.
Okay, is this better? This is better?
No. It's
Okay.
okay. I think it's all right. All right, Ari?
Okay. Is this good?
It's okay. Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So just let me know if it's, I'll speak a little louder just in case.
Okay, so let's get started. And today, so let's hello everyone. Today we have Dennis Pines, co-founder of Tea Botanics and Wise Paws, and Fard John Moore, founder of Aspictos. I hope I say it right. And what are we talking about today? Today, first we want to learn about Dennis and her companies. You do a lot. You have a product company, you have Wise Paws, which is a conference, right? And
Yes.
then I read that you are a award-winning filmmaker. And you are a board member of what? How to say that word? Esophopic
Oh,
medicine of California?
osteopathic. So,
Osteopathic, sorry.
yes, yeah. Yeah, so I wear a lot of hats, and sometimes it can be confusing because yeah, once you get into the entertainment side of what I do, it's like, huh, what is she talking about? So my background, just to sort of give you a general idea,
Yes,
my
yes.
background is in media. So I have been producing television and radio programs for about 20 years. So now I've shifted into strictly doing documentary films and docuseries. So that's kind of what I do as one side of what I work on. And then the other side is all, pretty health centric, and I'm really focused on women's health. So I'm in regulatory health. I am the immediate past president of the Medical Board of California. I am the on the board of directors for the Federation of All State Medical Boards. And I'm also on the California Medical Board of Osteopathics. And so it sort of gives me a really, and I'm also on the admissions committee for a medical school. So, and I sit on a hospital board. So I'm really entrenched in healthcare. So I'm entrenched from a regulatory standpoint, I'm entrenched from how it actually works with patient care. And then in terms of me getting into it, like dealing with the public. So the Wise Paws wellness platform that I founded a few years ago was designed to really educate women on perimenopause and menopause and bring together some of the world's best midlife experts. So practitioners, therapeutics, and then finding solutions, whether they be tech solutions, energy kind of solutions, things that are kind of unusual for people. And so that's kind of been the scope of what I've been doing with WisePaws. And then with Tea Botanics, that came about because I ended up having a hot flash. And I drink tea. My business partner, who's a doctor, had shared with me a particular tea that helped women with hot flashes, something he had discovered in his research. And so we studied the tea and then brought that tea to life in a formula. And then Fard and I came together. We had been working together for a number of years. We've been friends for a long time and started looking at this notion of femtech and realizing that there was a group of women being left out of the solutions that were on the market. And we coined this word femaging to be defined as innovations that focus specifically on health and wellness needs of women ages 40 plus, and that these innovations could be software related, diagnostic devices, nutraceuticals, wearables, pharmaceuticals, and things like clothing and beauty, which are kind of left out of technology, but have lots of technology applications to them.
Wow. This is, actually, I wanted to kind of give an outline of our talk, but you already gave us so much information here, which is good. And so, yeah, we will continue that. So first, we want to learn more about you. And then next, I want to talk about femaging. What is it all about, right? This problem, solution, how can we help women age gracefully and have their health needs met? Right. And then at the end, hoping we have more audience come and ask questions and comment. So how about we start with introduction? You have a little introduction, Denise, already, but I want to formally kind of introduce each other. Right.
Okay. Let Fard go just because I kind of already told everything about myself.
That's all right. And so, yeah, Fard, let's start first. You are the founder of Aspitos. Right, a digital health innovation consultancy. Tell us more about what you do.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I've been in the healthcare space now since the 1990s, and I've been focused on many, many different areas of healthcare, including women's health, mental health, cardiovascular disease, et cetera. And the work that I do at Inspectos is really helping organizations around the world understand how new technologies are evolving and how they should engage with them in terms of trying to achieve their various objectives, whether it be improving people's health or building new products and services that are really that really resonate with their customers. To really trying to help them to keep abreast of what's happening with the digital transformation of healthcare. And so in terms of Denise and I, have been working together for some time. We worked together a bit around the WisePaws platform and also her product Hot Flash Tea. During those collaborations, one of the things that I was noticing from the research that I was doing was that there was a lot of conversation about this topic called FinTech, which you may have heard of, which is really has been focused around reproductive health, dealing with menopause and periods, and basically focusing on the needs of younger women. And what we found back in 2019 when we first started looking at this was that a lot of the FinTech innovations were focused on younger women, and we were asking the question, well, what about women who are entering perimenopause and menopause or 40 years and older? And I did a little bit of research on this, and I found that there were very, very few companies and organizations and innovations that were being developed for these women. And so Denise and I decided to do something about that, and that's how we decided to launch the FemAging Project, which is focused on providing education, data,
insights and other types of services to really improve the innovation picture for the innovations that are developed for women over the age of 40. And so one of the things that we found since we launched the project was that there were very few people talking about this issue when we first started. But over the last 6 months or so, we've seen a lot more interest in the health and wellness needs of women over 40. And one of the things that Denise and I think we can take a little bit of credit for is helping to raise awareness of this issue and to get more people focused on that. So it's really been a great pleasure to be working with Denise on this project. And I'm very appreciative of the fact that you're giving us an opportunity to talk about this very important issue with the people that you're engaging with.
Wonderful. And you're right. According to FemTechFocus, in their report in March this year, they released it. In terms of femtech space, the four major areas: menstruation, fertility, right, maternal health, and sexual wellness. And I think menopause is the secondary. Definitely, you are correct on that. A lot of focus are on younger women. Yeah. And Ari, do you have any questions?
I'm going to get deeper as we start getting into some question picks. So I would lean in to you on some of the questions that you want to get started.
Yeah. So I think Denise, I've touched on that because I want to ask, what exactly is fem aging, right? Could you, Denise, just give us a more in-depth,
So really fem aging is specifically focused on the health and wellness needs of women ages 40 plus. And I think that's what sort of separates it from the overarching femtech, right? So femtech has been, clumped together as being everything, yet it actually started to leave out this group. So we said, we're going to focus on fem aging. So all solutions are about women who are 40 plus because their needs around wellness are different. And we also have to look at redefining what is women's health. And women's health tends to be defined as fertility, right? The issues around fertility, whether that's getting pregnant or being pregnant. And that's not what women's health is. Women's health is a broad spectrum. Because even after you get past the, say, 40 to 60 age group, which is really around perimenopause and menopause specific symptoms, once you get past into the 60 plus, you're now also getting into a whole nother set of new health related age issues, heart and cancer diseases, osteoporosis, mental deterioration of the of brain cells. And so you get into things that are different. So to have women's, the health of women conversation focused specifically on fertility constantly is leaving out really millions of women. And
Yes, you said over 53 million women in the U.S. that age over 40, right? Between 40 to 65.
Exactly. And when you look at the fertility age women, it's a little bit more. It's about 54 million. So we're saying that we have 54 million that we focus all of our health concerns on. And yet there's 53 million that have a whole nother experience. And so that is what led to the, like, we need to carve out the focus on women who are 40 plus. And we really sort of age it like 40 to 65. And what does those solutions look like and what is really needed for them, right? So when we look at innovation, so when we add the tech component to it, what does that look like when we're talking about clothing for these women, right? So there's a woman in the UK who created this cooling agent in clothes to help keep women cool when they have hot flashes.
Interesting.
Right? Oh, very interesting. It's based off of NASA technology. So even when you look at clothing, there's a tech component even to that. When you look at beauty, There are several companies that have come out with beauty solutions targeting the lack of hormone in the woman's skin and rejuvenating that with science.
Wow.
Yes. So there's, so, you know, it's very fascinating. And yeah. I think it's going to grow. I think this is the really big opportunity market.
It right? is, because according to Femtech Focus, that report, they actually debunk it. They said the Femtech market today is over 700 billion. And they expect to be over, just telling me that like 54 million are women under age 40, and 53 is half and half, right? So we are, it should be theoretically is 50% of the today's market size.
So exactly. Exactly.
Over 300 billion just today.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, wow. it's going in 4 years, in 2025.
Yeah.
One in seven women were basically, yeah, one in seven women in the world will be perimenopause, menopause.
Wow.
Right?
Honestly, I am 42. I never even thought about this until I get into Femtech and learn about this. And I was like, oh man, by 40 yeah. I already would have symptoms.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you don't know. And you go to the doctor. The doctors a lot don't know. And you suffer and you keep it quiet, right? So this is, we call it the silent suffering, right? These are yes. the silent suffering years, because no one really wants to talk about what's starting to happen to them. And they think it's only happening to them, because we haven't been having conversations like this to actually open up the dialogue and getting people more interested. And there's, even in medical school, I'm working on a really big project where we're trying to get medical schools to teach medical students the life stage of a woman. And I know everybody thinks, of course they're teaching that. Of course not. I know they are not. And so that begins part of the problem. It also begins part of the problem in society, in that women, once they hit 40, are, you know, considered, you know, like if they can't have babies anymore, they're just useless to society. Right. And that's that we still actually operate under that mentality. And so that's one of the reasons why for so long that we have seen a lack of innovation in solutions for women who are starting to have perimenopause, menopausal symptoms. And there are about 44 different kinds of symptoms that women will have.
What?
So, I mean, you think there's 44 different symptoms, and which there's 44 kind of opportunities of all kinds of things that you can start thinking of. And yet we have not been doing that.
Wow. And so I would like to know, so you already had like products, right? The Botanic Tea, Tea Botanics, right? Tea that's specific to hot flashes, right? Women suffering that. And you also have a conference. So what inspired you to create this report? What happened? Something triggers, I'm sure.
Farhad, I'll let you jump into that.
Sure. So, yeah, we decided to create the report partly you know, a lot of the impetus for that, honestly, was, you know, me encouraging, talking to Denise about the importance of doing this report, and she agreed with it. We were looking at research on, you know, things like menopause as well as women's health. And what we were trying to get a sense of through the existing research was whether or not the unique health and wellness needs of women over the age of 40 were actually being researched. And so what we found was that there wasn't a lot out there. And so we decided that one of our first steps would be to conduct a kind of three first of its kind research initiatives. The first thing that we did is that we created a national survey of U.S. women ages 40 to 65 that provides new information about the health, wellness, and product service interests of this population. And what we did is that we said, what are the specific and most pressing health and wellness concerns of older women? And the second thing we did was we said, what types of products and services do they actually want? And the third thing we did was to look at which innovations and had been developed specifically for these women and how well they actually lined up with their preferences. So what happens a lot in terms of research is people say, and you've probably seen this in some of the innovation and tech research that you've looked at, where people will say, well, you know, there are 10 different innovations being developed for women, and then it kind of ends there. What we decided to do is to say, what do women want, and are there innovations out there that are actually catering to their needs, and where are the gaps, right? So we wanted to not only conduct the research to look at this space and understand their needs, but also to create a roadmap that people could use to say, well, if I'm developing a product or service for women over the age of 40, what are the specific health and wellness needs that they have that we could actually innovate around, right? And that's a really important thing for people who are starting companies or trying to fund companies. And so this two-part research project was released in our FemAging 2020 report. What we also did is, with the advent of the COVID-19 pandemic, we ran an additional research study to look at what older women thought about COVID-19. And the interesting thing about this particular research was that a lot of people were still kind of thinking that COVID-19 would be something that comes and then it goes. What we've learned since then is that COVID-19 is going to be with us for a long time. And this study was the first study to look at, not just among older women, but just in general, about whether or not they felt that COVID-19 would have impacts, not just in years, over the years to come, but the decades to come. So what we think we've done is provided a roadmap for people to help them to understand what are the specific needs of these women, whether or not the current market has products and services that meet these needs, and provide them with guidance about what people actually want, so that they can start to develop products and services that are really, really critical and will actually be wanted. So hopefully that gives you a good sense of why we decided to do the research and some of the major goals.
That's very comprehensive.
Actually, I'm really curious, Bart, if you can, share with us a little bit more on the FemAging website that you guys created, right? There's a lot of amazing information here. So I'm really curious, how has, the current information and the website itself, how has the user been using this information? Have you gotten some, feedback or even like maybe more insights on how our female users are using the information you shared?
Sure. So basically, what we wanted to do, and you've seen this, is provide people with kind of three things with the website, right? The first is access to our research, and our research is being used by a number of different players in the women's health space. They come from everyone from startups that are trying to build products and services in this area to large managed care or health insurance companies that are trying to figure out how do they actually work with, meeting the needs of these women. And so there's a range of different people that are engaged with the content of the site. In addition to the people I mentioned, we also have investors that are looking at the space that are trying to understand it better. And so that's kind of the first thing. The second thing that we've done is we've been holding events. We're about to hold our third event in October, and the event is basically focusing on educating people about the FemAging phenomenon. And so in our first couple of events, we've had doctors, we've had innovators, we've had venture capitalists and others who are educating people about what is FemAging? Why is it important? What's the opportunity? What are they looking to invest in? And that event has been attended by physicians, by regular consumers who are trying to understand this space, to people building businesses. And what we did during our last event was actually hold not just an event to educate people, but a pitch competition. So we actually had, I think we had about 40 companies apply
Wow.
to participate in this pitch competition, and then we had 10 innovators from around the world who presented their innovations in front of investors, and now they're receiving support, the ones who came through as finalists, and we're planning our next pitch competition and event to happen in October. So the final thing I'll say about the website is that we're expanding it. Well, there's such a need. What we found is, investors and people at startups are looking for kind of a comprehensive place to learn about, companies, to learn about new investments, to learn about news in the space, to learn about, in-depth insights about companies and founders. And so we're actually developing a site that we are tentatively calling Fimaging Pro, which is going to be kind of a premium service for people that want to dive even deeper into this. And so in terms of answering your question as to how people have been using it, it's really information gathering, coming together around these events, et cetera. And the final thing I'll say about the event is we had our first event, and we had this event was about 2 hours, 2.5 hours long. And we had about, I'd say, 30 or 40 people stay for our networking session after everything was over. And what we found was people really eager to learn from each other, to meet each other, to network. So what we're also doing is, in addition to providing information, we're providing community, right? So to people who are feeling like I'm the only one in this space, and they were difficult to not only get traction, but to get investment and to get support and to get attention. So community, in addition to information seeking, is another thing that we're doing, both with our events as well as our upcoming FinMaking Pro platform. So hopefully that answers your question about how people are reacting to the site and how they're using it.
Yes. Oh man, that is fascinating to me. And I think one piece that you mentioned is about creating community out of, all of the things you shared, the information. I think that is big. In my opinion, I think that would definitely what will bring, people together in this and really get people talking about it more. I couldn't agree more on that one. I wanted to be in the next event. I wanted to learn more about it. So whenever you have the info, I would love to, sign up and be at your next event.
Oh, of
Thank
course.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It,
we'll
yeah,
add you. We'll
it's,
also make sure that you're notified about it. Yeah.
yeah. We do have the date. It's October 15th, and it will be 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And so it will be the first hour will be a discussion where we'll bring healthcare experts together in this space. This recent, the one we did in May, we had the president of the Menopause Society. So we kind of have that caliber of medical expertise that come. And then we have investors who have invested in women's health. And then we end the conversation talking about innovation and agile innovation and how, how founders come about, putting together their innovation so people can sort of hear more about, the steps and strategies taken to, get to a successful product for the market.
I really like that you use data, you do research, extensive research to back the idea, right? So that it interests investor. They all about data, and that's fascinating. And I love data too, and it's just fascinating, so interesting to read the report. And I have to say, it's beautifully designed.
Thank you.
The website, when I first show Ari, she was like, wow, that looks really beautiful. And the website is beautiful. The UX is good. And I am a report designer. I used to be. And even the downloadable PDF, it's beautifully done. So I
Thank
have
you.
to. And it's not only beautifully designed, it's very easy to digest. I like you said, it's a 72-page report, jam-packed of the information and data, but I actually find it so quickly go through that and understand a lot of important points. So that is actually very important.
Yeah, I
Right.
mean, it's really hard when you have a lot of data points.
Yeah.
We had a ton of data points, but really to extract, especially, when we're still at the very surface of this issue,
exactly.
to talk about it in a way that is digestible for people when this isn't something that people have been talking about or heard about. So we are moving forward to come out with something called Femme Aging Pro, which is a premium platform that we will constantly be giving data and trends and investor interviews, innovator interviews on. So that will be coming probably in September. That platform will be available.
I already signed up to your mailing list, so
okay,
I hope
great.
To see that. And so another thing is I did a little research, and I heard that you have some pushback when you first come up with this term. What happened? Go back to femme aging.
I don't know if we had, Farr, did we have pushback? You know, I think just the target is pushed back,
right? Uh-huh.
The age group
interesting.
Is, you know, people are living longer. I mean, women are going to be living at least 30 years in this age range, right? Or longer. I mean, we're able to, you know, through drugs, I mean, keep people alive, drugs, you know, hygiene, health prevention, vaccines, all of these things now prolong life. And we've seen that definitely in developed countries. And so I think now, as, you know, women see, you know, that, you know, if I'm 40 or 50, that's not really old. You know, maybe my parents' age, that may have been old, but that's not how it's perceived today. And so I think that now there's a lot that has to catch up with that, right? You know, just, excuse me, even the treatment of menopause, even the treatment of perimenopause is only being seen as a hormone deficiency problem. And there's so many more issues. I mean, the medical industry is 20 years behind on this. There's so many more issues that cause women to have the 44 symptoms that I shared with you, right?
Yeah.
You have the environment that impacts it. We have the technology that we are now surrounding ourselves with, between laptops, cell phones, desktops, you know, all in our central space, you know, Wi-Fi all throughout your house. Everything is Wi-Fi. And people don't realize the impact that that actually has on the human cellular structure, because we haven't had a conversation about that, because the regulatory commissions are even far behind. I mean, here we are in 2021 operating off of regulations that were instituted in 1992. Facebook wasn't even around in 1992. I mean, so it's so far behind. And so all of these are having impact on the human body. And yet we're only talking about still antiquated ideas around what impacts the human body, and specifically the woman's body as it begins to age.
It is true. I never even thought about it. Even I already hit 40. I thought that's for my mom, right? Now knowing, no, I have to be aware of this. And thanks to you, right, and other femtech advocates, like, now I'm so much more aware of my own health, you know, and really abhor what you are doing. And so let's go back to the report. What are the most important finding or insight in your research among all this data?
Farr, you want to jump in?
Sure. So there were a number of different surprises that we found in the research, and I'll just kind of talk about a couple of things. One of them is that we were surprised about how certain innovations were being adopted. So, for example, you know, this research was done, you know, about a year ago, but I still think it's very interesting how voice technologies are surprisingly widespread among this population. And so, you know, things like Alexa, Siri, you know, these very important, you know, voice technologies were being adopted very heavily by older women, and they're basically relying on it in their day-to-day lives. And so this was very interesting to us. The other part of it was the differences in health and product needs and preferences among different groups of women of color. One of the things that we specifically did with this research is we looked at whether women of color, African American, Latinas, and Asians, what their specific health and wellness needs were. And so we found that there were different preferences in terms of health and wellness. So, for example, we found that many Asian women are concerned about thinning hair. Hispanics were more likely to say sexual health is a concern, and African American women were more likely to say that they were stressed and are looking for stress management solutions. And I heard you, in the background. Yes. So I'll just pause for that. That was
something
that,
was. Yeah. Yes, I do notice. Oh my God, yes, I do notice. I have thinning hair, and I'm Asian, so I'm definitely in the group. Wow. Fascinating.
And yeah, I mean, that was, you know, and we still, you know, to be honest, you know, since we've done this research, we still have not seen other reports actually focus on this. So our data still is very, very unique in the realm of trying to understand the unique health and wellness needs of women of color. And so the other thing we were very surprised by were by what we call the menopause treatment gap. So we found that 60% of women in menopause report that their symptoms interfere greatly with their daily lives, right? So this is not just an inconvenience, but it's something that really is significant. But only 12% of this group are actually receiving care. And in the perimenopausal group, 46% of perimenopausal women say their symptoms greatly interfere with their daily lives. But get this, only 5% are receiving care. I mean, so what you're seeing here is that there are there's a significant treatment gap, you know, and Denise kind of mentioned this earlier. I'll talk about one more thing. We were surprised about the differences in the sensitive health and wellness concerns of certain women of color. And more than one quarter of African-American women believe managing incontinence is an important versus 17% of Hispanics and 13% of Asians. And so the other thing that we found is that women were willing to highlight issues that are generally in the shadows. So for example, nearly one third of all women ages 40 plus say that managing vaginal dryness and atrophy is important. And about the same percentage are actually interested in innovations related to this issue. And I'll talk about how this is kind of continued this issue of vaginal dryness and atrophy is that in our last pitch competition, we had a company called Medora, which is developing a non-hormonal treatment for vaginal dryness that is specifically focused on women that can't take hormones because of cancer or other issues. And they mm-hmm. were the winners of our last pitch competition. They impressed the audience mm-hmm. and the judges that they actually won first place. So this is, you know, so not only are we highlighting these issues, but we're also trying to support these innovations that are actually being developed to address them. So there's obviously a lot more that I could go into, but these are just some of the surprising things that we found in the research.
I love this. Ari, any comment?
Fascinating. I love data, right?
Fascinating.
Oh, man. And Peg, I know you are in the target demographic here, for real.
I know, I didn't even know it. For real, yes. Yeah, and so that is, for me, is really fascinating to see you pushing this, right? Bring awareness. Honestly, I was not aware of it, you know, until I get into the space. And also, like, this is a subset of femtech, right? And I knew the menopause. I didn't think it was me until, like, what? Femme aging is 40 plus. So,
yeah. It's yeah. I think, you know, I tell people that we have to find a better word, because menopause right now, I mean, it's going to take some time to rebrand menopause. So there needs to be a word that engages women who are late 30s into their mid 40s, a term that allows them to really embrace the knowledge of what's happening with their body, because nobody wants to connect to menopause. You know, I always tell people menopause, you hear it, it equals old, not desirable, and doesn't want to have sex, right? Yes. And so nobody wants to be attached to that. If you are 40 years old and having menopausal symptoms, and you know, they do begin that early. So you just tune out, right? And then that tuning out allows, you know, forces you to suffer. And, you know, just putting the word peri in front of menopause isn't going to make that a prettier word. So we just need to find like a language that allows women who are on a younger spectrum experiencing these symptoms to want to be engaged in what's happening to them. And I have been, you know, I think what I'm going to have to do is partner with a bunch of marketing firms and have us bang out a word. And then we put that out in the universe. I have tried to work with AARP on this, but they just, you know, they're just not there. And their target is actually older anyway. So,
But I think fem aging is a very appropriate word when you told me about fem aging.
I kind of really get it. Actually, you have something you want to add? The fem aging term was rather fitting, in my opinion. I mean, it's sort of giving me a peek into, I think I know what this is, right? And when you mention about rebranding menopause, that's going to take a while for all of us, because the word itself has a very, you know, negative connotation to a lot of the, well, women and also the society already. But this term, fem aging, in my opinion, it's something that is exciting in a sense, because you're really trying to give us some understanding about what areas beyond just menopause that, you know, women over 40 are really experiencing, and how can we really share, you know, the resources that they can also have in their lives so that they can better prepare themselves.
Exactly. And, you know, aging is not a dirty word, right?
I think very positive.
Exactly. I mean, everybody's aging. A baby is aging. A 10-year-old is aging. A 16-year-old is aging. I think if we, you know, accept that the notion that aging isn't something bad, when we, I think we'll start to change things. You know, I was in a seminar that talked about implicit bias. And the gentleman who was running the seminar put on the screen a list of different ethnic, racial groups, along with obesity, you know, overweight people, older people, and everybody in the room, you know, we got our phones out and we were supposed to vote. Who do we think was the group most disparaged? And so most people had put African Americans. And in fact, African Americans was the third on the list. The first on the list was older people. And the second was people who are obese. And when I looked at that, older people were those that were had the most bias against them. It now helped me to understand, you know, the spectrum that women find themselves in as they get older. So we, you know, we have to reimagine, you know, what aging is in our society and embrace it, and then, you know, frankly, fall in love with it so that we can reimagine it in our living experience.
Wow. Powerful. Yes, I agree.
This is so good. I mean, I'm just absorbing it. I'm going to be transparent a little bit here. In October 19, that is my birthday. I'm going to turn 34. So I'm in the youngest crowd here, but all of this information prepped me to what's going to come my way, right, in just a couple more years. Yeah. So I need to really think about this. But anyway, okay, so maybe the last thing that we can discuss is actually your your tips that you want to give to founders who are in this femme aging space, but they don't realize that it is femme aging. What would you want to share to them?
I would first say that they need to do some research, which is our research, just to get the report, and really look and see what we shared specifically about what women want. Those are where the solution's gonna, that's where the innovation is. That's gonna be the unicorn for people. If people want unicorn, this is the space because it's so untapped. And it doesn't matter where you tackle it. If you got a SaaS solution, if you have a device solution, if you have a clothing or a beauty solution, these are the things that women are, what they're wanting. What we put in that report wasn't pie in the sky. This would be great if I had it. This is, I am so desperate. I need it. So definitely is the report and really reading what we highlighted about what it is that women really, really in fact want. Definitely in sexual health, that is really, we just don't talk about sex in our society. And so, and our sensuality and our sexual being, and that is such an undertapped environment. We are starting to see, though, lots of interesting solutions for women. There are a lot of new devices that are being made for women. There are vaginal gel solutions. We are starting to look at solving women's sexual health through women innovators, right?
Yes.
Men have had a chance. Men have had 400 years to help get this right. And they have, they have definitely failed us. In modern time, they have failed us. But it's the women who are actually rising up. And I'm not saying all men, but most of them have. And now it's the women that are rising up saying, this doesn't work. This is too big. This isn't shaped really for my body, right? And so they're looking at things that are, that provide solution, but also comfort in the solution it's providing.
And about that, also Ford is the one man who was supporting this cause too, right? He's our ally. Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember going through the report, you also mentioned research data. And then another thing also is that listening to women and diversity, right? Those are key tips too. Diversity, listening to women, right? And in terms of branding also, you need to listen to your audience. And this is listening to them.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
First thing to do. We have a audience come up on stage. Wonderful. So do you have a question or a comment?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, ladies. This is a really great topic because I turned 39 a few months ago. And so I'm not sure of what comes next. So I'm very happy to, listen to the conversation. And I have a question. I missed the statistics about when everybody voted, people voted for African Americans, but this other group was the one that was most disparaged. If you could repeat it, please.
Oh, sure, sure. So the group that was most discriminated were older people. And the second group most discriminated was overweight people. And the third group was, in fact, African Americans.
Thank you.
And in terms of also to your question of, wanting to know more. So on September 18th, we will be having our Wise Pause event. It's free. You can just go to wisepause.com and register. That's W-I-S-E pause.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Very good. What else? I have a question.
Oh, okay.
For you. Where is my question? Sorry. My question would be, what's the one thing we as women or anybody, right, we can help today with this cause? What's the one thing?
I would say, and Florida will probably have something different. I just would say that I think we have to just become aware. Mm. Everything that leads to anything starts with an awareness of something.
Okay.
So this conversation is creating that awareness, right? You,
yes,
you choosing definitely. To talk about femtech and then having this abbreviated conversation inside the broader spectrum of femtech, so fem aging, is creating that awareness. So that really is the first part, is, you know, us all kind of, you know, having more and more and more discussion about this, so that it becomes like, when you say it to someone, people know what it is. And then we can actually then start in the next layers. You know, the next layers is more innovative solutions. The next layer is investors investing into those solutions and not, you know, giving kibbles and bits. I mean, we're talking about technology, devices, things like this. That stuff requires, you know, millions and millions of dollars, right? Look, you know, just the vaccine. I don't know the amount of billions. It's probably $1 trillion that went in a very short period of time to come up with one vaccine, right? One vaccinated solution to one virus, in which we have millions of viruses that we live with in our society. So we can do it, but we have to have the will to do it. And we've got to create the will in these investors to invest in these kinds of solutions.
Definitely. And I have my last question is, what's your next step and how can we help you succeed?
Farr, you want to talk about that? We talked about the Fem Aging Probe. That's kind of that's really our next step. And then we'll do another report that will come out in 2022.
Wow. I can't wait for that. And how can we help you succeed?
I think just getting a word out about Fem Aging, getting the word out once we have our information for the October 15th discussion and pitch competition. You know, to talk about us to people when you're having conversations.
Yes, I will from now on. Definitely. Yeah.
Fard, any last words you want to leave?
Yeah, I just want to say that I very much appreciate you giving us an opportunity to talk about this. I know that this session is being recorded, so it's going to live on and people are going to be listening to this for some time. What I would say in terms of next steps is, you know, just go to femaging.com if you're interested in keeping up with and learning more about the femaging phenomenon. And so you can sign up there for our email list and you'll be updated about our events and other activities. And the other part of it, I think, is, you know, and it was very great, really fantastic to hear, I think, from you, Ari, about, you know, the term femaging. In that, you know, it kind of is, you know, as someone who's in communication, there's a term that people use sometimes called word viruses. And basically what that is it's a term that kind of gets in your head and it stays there. And so with femaging, that's kind of what we were trying to do. And it's really just exposing people to that idea and helping them to understand that this is a very important issue and that more and more folks are becoming interested in these areas. And I think as a society, not just in the United States, but around the world, these issues are being taken much more seriously. So just spreading the word, you know, staying informed, those are key things. And then in terms of next steps, we have our event coming up in October, as well as our Femaging Pro platform that people can use to really stay abreast of these trends. And I just want to say thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to talk about this. What we started this back in 2019, and over time, we've just gotten more and more people interested in this and being interested in talking to us about this and your program, and this opportunity is part of that. So I just want to say thank you.
Very welcome. For that. Right, Vic?
Actually, for me, it's fascinating. So learning something new today and doing research and knowing you. And so thank you for coming on and give me this education and bring awareness to this very important topic, actually. Right.
Sure. You know, one of the things I think, Farah, did you talk about that we also did a little research report on fem aging and COVID?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I know if anybody here want to learn more, there is a very comprehensive report that Denise and Farah co-author called FemAging.com. If you go to FemAging.com, you will find their report. Beautifully designed website, very easy to understand data. That's when you can learn more. And after that, as they mentioned, they have events. So if you want to be engaged in this community, please follow them and learn more about that.
Great. Thank you.
Yes. So, Ari, you want to wrap up?
Let's do the parting thoughts. And I know all the time, whenever we create this room, we have this little quote that we typically would pull that resonate with our discussion today. For today's parting thoughts, we have one from Oprah Winfrey. So I'm going to read that for everyone. So many women I've talked to see menopause as an ending, but I've discovered this is your moment to reinvent yourself after years of focusing on the needs of everyone else. It's your opportunity to get clear about what matters to you and then to pursue that with all of your energy, time, and talent. I think that's very well fitting, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great quote that Oprah has. And I sort of, sometimes I use that when I'm talking to people and it's interesting, you know, Oprah didn't start really talking about her menopause and perimenopause until years and years later. I mean, she didn't start talking about it until she was actually probably about 61 or 62. So, you know, sometime way after she was actually experiencing it.
All right. We are ready to wrap up.
Well, thank you, ladies, for having us on. This has been exciting. Farah and I always love talking about fem aging. We can never not stop talking about
That's
it.
That's good. And Farah talking about the word virus, right? It definitely infected me now because fem aging is a catchy word, very easy to understand. From now on, I cannot forget it.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Denise, for joining us today. I'm going to play a quick music to kind of walk us out of this room. Wonderful, Wanda. Thank you so much for your question and joining us for today's session. If you want to stay tuned on the next thing that we're going to bring up, make sure to follow Femtech Roundtable Club or even like follow myself, Pick, and please do follow Denise and Fart in, you know, Clubhouse as well, or even on their Instagram. I think I have their Instagram right in front of me. Give me just 1 second. So if you want to follow Denise, she has her two Instagrams, one at tbotanics with an S, and then the other one is at wisepaws. And for Fart, you have Twitter, right, Fart?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, I you can find me at twitter.com/FardJ.
Okay, wonderful. All righty. Thank you so much, everyone. I'm going to play us some music so we can get out of here and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Definitely. Thank you, Denise and Far, and wonderful.
Thank you for having us. I very much appreciate it. I look forward to connecting with you, hopefully at our next event or beforehand as we start to talk about it.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you. Have a wonderful day. Wonderful. I love your name.
Thank you. Woo!